Ahoy, one and all. It's Vivi, aka Villaval, and at the moment you have the pleasure of being tuned in to Side Jams with Brian Reisman.
Hey everybody, this is Brian Reisman, host of Side Jams. Here with a new episode, we have Liv Christine, who's you know her from many different groups, and you also know her. This is who has her sixth solo album out right now, River of Diamonds. It's her first one in a number of years, actually.
Yeah, it's been 8-9 years. Yeah, since my last solo album. So it was about time.
Well, the last one also was very goth, kind of goth rock oriented, to which I really like because I'm a closet goth. And the new album is interesting because it combines all the different elements of your style. So a song like Gravity has that ethereal metal thing. Some of the other tracks are like, even the title track is more kind of gothic and gothic rock and flavored. But then like you do a couple covers, including True Colors by Cyndi Lauper, which shows off your pop side, which is something that actually did come out in some of your earlier solo albums.
Yeah, you're right. It's it kind of sums up everything. And it feels great because I'm 47 years old now, and I'm standing in the middle of my life, and River of Diamonds feels like my very first album. Yeah. It is the first album of my second life half, to put it this way. So if I wouldn't have been able to release an album, I would have released a book. Something had to come out after 9 years of silence and nearly 30 years, more than 30 years in the music business.
And on top of that, you moved from Germany to Switzerland last year. You got married in 2021 and then you moved from Germany to Switzerland. So you've had a lot of changes.
Absolutely, because it's exactly 1 year and 5 days ago since I got settled here in Switzerland with a new job and really, really getting my stuff into this place and getting to know the country, the people, the mentality, and everything. It's been an amazing year, and my son's grown up, so the bird had to fly. Yeah. And mom had to fly too. So it's just, it was that point in a mom's and son's life where we said like, okay, so now it's time for getting independent and for more freedom and for growth. And it's important to let the bird fly, to really see that, okay, it's still my son. Of course, he will always be my son, but he's grown up now. I think it's very healthy.
Well, I remember 2006, because twice I went to Germany and interviewed you, and we had lunch on this, either it's like a mountainside.
Yes.
I don't remember where that was, but I remember you used to call him Little Leon.
Yes. Exactly.
I would see pictures of him growing up, like it's Little Leon. I'm like, he's not little anymore.
No, he's two meters tall, and he's like, you know, much, much taller than I am. So he's he's nearly 20 years old. So it's amazing how time flies. Yeah. Yeah. I remember that time we met at the cafe. Yeah.
Yeah. But you know, it's interesting too, because now you're a teacher. So you moved. When did you start teaching?
That was, actually, as my son entered primary school, when he was 6 years old, obviously we chose a private school because we were taking Leon on tour. And not every time, but most of the time.
I remember, yeah, at least one time in New York, I think I remember seeing him.
Yes, exactly. So, you know, being a part of the teacher's team, gave me some freedom, you know. So I used to teach at Leon's primary school, and that was that's 14 years ago, right? That was when my teaching process started. I didn't study that. I studied languages, linguistics, ancient languages, language acquisition, but I never took that part. You need to become a teacher. But it was always something that it's always been in my blood. So when Leon's primary school had the headmaster asked me to support his school, I did, which gave us some freedom to take Leon on the road. And then it just continued, like with every school that Leon went to, or just private schools, or we call it a people school where grown-ups can go and educate themselves as well, like from yoga to languages to baking and
cooking. Yeah. So like secondary education here, I think, or like
exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So and then in 2016, when my life was just a terrible mess and I lost my income source, I was quite lucky to still have some connections, you know, from the past. Yeah. So I contacted a couple of people and I got myself a job, and in 2016 I got the chance to become a teacher for children within the autistic spectrum, which is something that, you know, I grew up with children and people within the autistic spectrum. So I got some experience, and I feel great empathy for these lovely human beings, special people.
Yeah.
So I was lucky to get into this place, and then it just grew and grew, and then I started working with children from homes, you know, growing up without parents, children with Down syndrome. It's been an amazing experience and an amazing journey. So when COVID happened in Europe, I was not dependent on touring, going on stage. I mean, that had been kind of not, you know, not very important throughout the years.
Yeah.
Since 2016, I really had to get my life sorted out. I needed to get that daily life sorted out, you know, for my family and for myself, find a new place to live and stuff like that.
Yeah.
We've been moving around, and then COVID happened, and I had a safe financial source. So I expanded that occupation, and now, yeah, I'm in Switzerland. I'm working at the primary school for children with special needs, and the thing is still growing, and I just love it. I love it, and it's an inner call, because as I already mentioned, I didn't study that, as well as music.
Yeah,
those are the two things I didn't study, and I'm doing it for a living. So. It's interesting. And just surrender to it. Just do it. But it took some time for me to realize that I had to get through a very rough period. I had to dissolve some blockages. I had to dissolve the trauma. I had to get rid of some dusty layers to really see what I want to do in my life. How can I serve? How can I be really authentic?
I think it's interesting, you know, you have this other side. Do you think teaching now is helping to enrich your art? By having something outside of just doing music?
Absolutely, yes. Well, of course, a settled financial source gives you safety. And I realized that when I feel safe, I am more creative. Mm. I think that's for all of us. It's just something that you have to grasp, you have to learn. When you felt unsafe, how is it to be at a place where you're safe? So when you felt both, you've come a long way when you can just feel safe in your life and just do what is authentically you. So yes, I have to say that having both, being able to teach what I really love, and I see a lot of growth. Of course, the children are mentally and physically growing, yeah, year by year, month by month even. But you see that what you're doing really changes something. You can change something. And all these connections and this this empathy. Children don't fake. And I just love this, just honesty about children. I love that. And it makes me, as a grown-up, as an experienced grown-up, see life from a different view sometimes, especially when you're working with children within the autistic spectrum. It's amazing how you sometimes you can just step outside of yourself and just watch reality, or even watch yourself trying to deal with reality with your monkey mind, with everything you have to take care of coming from the outside. Just watch yourself and actually smile about it. You can actually smile about it. And I think that's very healthy. And it's something I also write about in my lyrics. Exactly that thing when you actually learn how to change your perspective. It's so healthy. Yeah. But it takes a while to get there.
It does. How much does performing in front of people help being a factor in terms of dealing with kids if they're moody or if they have certain issues?
Yeah, it's there's a different setting to every morning, to every class, to every lecture, to every to every end of the final, the final class of the day. There is always a new setting. There, the mood might change. Then you have 22 happy children, and then you have one child crying because something happened at home, and then you have another 6 children crying along to that because something happened. Everything changes within, or can change within a couple of minutes. So it's very important to be ready for everything. So when I enter stage, I played a full show in front of 5 people. And most bands would just, okay, so the show's not going to happen because there are just 5 people out there. But I think it's important to be prepared for everything, to accept that, and to always feel that each one is important, and I enjoy that moment just as much as playing in Wacken for 60,000 people. I was being on the stage in Wacken, for me it was like, okay, so now I'm trying to tune into every person out there as I'm doing a tiny club somewhere downtown, Boston. But it makes you smile a little bit about yourself. And having stage experience helps me a lot being a teacher, where there is so much going on, and the audience is always very vivid. It can change suddenly, and you have so many different characters in there. So yeah, it's a very cool question, by the way.
It's interesting. I have a friend whose son is autistic. He's an adult now, but she had a lot of confrontations with the school at one point, because at one point he had a teacher who didn't really understand him because she didn't understand autistic children. So what in Switzerland, what are the sort of prevailing attitudes in terms of kids with autism? I mean, how much understanding is there there?
There is more. It's the plan is that everybody, it's integration. Everybody should have the chance to go to a primary school, a Swiss primary school. There used to be schools for, like special schools, but this is kind of dissolving. Politicians try to make everybody feel like one, and everybody should feel accepted. And we have refugees, we have people from the Ukraine coming now. So I think it's a very healthy path to take. But of course, you do have children and young people who are too handicapped to be at a normal Swiss primary school. So then we try to give this person a one-to-one following up. So there is always one special person looking after and taking care of this one child. so that they can get the possibility to integrate in the class and feeling comfortable in the classroom. It's not always possible, but that's the plan, actually. So I think it's a great way. It's a positive frequency. I embrace that. We've been doing that in Scandinavia for 20, 25 years already.
So obviously you've been in Switzerland now for a year. Mm-hmm. When we spoke years and years ago, I always remember that you wanted to go back to Norway.
Yeah.
You know, you wanted to go back to your homeland. And it's interesting, you went to Switzerland. Had you thought about moving to Norway?
Yes, yes, yes. And we're still going to move to Norway, but it's not for now, because it feels great to have settled in Switzerland. And Leon, my son is doing his education, and he's in Germany. So it's, for me, it's kind of a, you know, it's great to be in Switzerland because it's not that far.
It's closer.
It's just closer. It's three and a half hours. But
oh, wow.
We will be moving to Norway. I still got my Norwegian passport. Leon has his Norwegian passport. That's his choice, where he wants to live on this planet. And we've been traveling a lot, so he knows.
Really?
Yeah, you know, we've been traveling. He was on the road as he was a kid, so he's seen many places. He knows three or four languages, so he can choose. But what we will go, my husband, Michael, and I, my husband's Danish, yeah. We will go back to Norway in a couple of years, 3 or 4 years, I guess, yeah. So it's good for him to be closer to his family and for me to be closer to my family. Of course, I miss my sister. I miss my parents. I miss my sister.
I remember your sister.
Yeah.
Yeah, I met her the first time I saw you guys in Germany.
Yes, exactly.
My God, 2006,
yes, Leon.
So I have not been to Germany since 2006, which is unbelievable.
It's unbelievable, yeah. Leon was a little more than a year old.
And, you know, I know you've been through a lot in the last few years, but I think it's cool that, you know, you've managed to turn it around and decide what's important to you.
Thank you.
There are a lot of people who don't handle those things well.
Yeah.
And I understand it. I mean, it's tough. It's a shock. I mean, I was surprised, mm-hmm. and I said, okay. But yet, it seems like, I don't know. I look at your social media, then I also really, but I listen to the songs, and it feels like, you know, you're looking forward to other chapters in your life.
You're right.
And there's a danger sometimes, too, of repetition, where you suddenly realize, like, you know, I've been living in this apartment almost 24 years. I'm like, I think I need to change. I'm assuming it was difficult at first, but then how liberating was it as that process went on for you? Was there a certain point that you turned the page and you realized it was a change in your mindset? You said out of the monkey mind.
Yeah, the monkey mind.
You realize that?
I kind of, as I was ready to change my perspective and really see that, okay, that's your monkey mind. Okay, it's not you. It's not the real you. It's your monkey mind making up a certain reality or realities. And there is something much, much greater. There is something that is, I see that there is, if you actually manage to enter your soul and to clean up for real, you see who you really are. And that was actually, I see the process as being fulfilled in 2022, actually. So that was when my album was ready too. Ready to get released in 2023. So that process I had to fulfill that process. So I can now really say that everything I experienced, it was all worth it because of where I am today. And I got my creativity back. I feel safe now, and it feels great to be 47 years old, and there are more albums to come. There is a poetry collection coming out.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. So it feels like all these layers of dust are just gone now, and I can really grasp the process of being creative and being authentic. And it's something I would really like to give you the courage to do as well. And one of the songs I I released on an EP a couple of years ago, Have Courage, Dear Heart. I got it tattooed as well, underneath my heart. And that was 2018, 2019 when I met Michael, and my now husband and my soul partner. And I was actually, I had decided to be without singing, be without, you know, no performance anymore, no band. I just wanted to, yeah, to quit the whole thing. Music business sucks and all that stuff. And, you know, court cases and all the bullshit. You know, sometimes I found myself in front of court and I didn't even know what I was doing there. And I just wanted to quit it all. And I quit, but I realized that I'm not being myself. So when Michael turned up in my life, he gave me the real kick that I needed. He pushed me. That was when I released Have Courage, Dear Heart. So yeah, it takes a lot of courage to go through that process, but it's very relieving and it's very freeing in the end.
So what is the most fulfilling aspect of teaching for you?
Serving, yeah, and strengthening children's voices. Not, you know, telling them to be loud. No, I'm telling them to calm down, because there is education, there is a lesson going on. All right, but strengthening their voices means staying in touch with a child within you, staying in touch with creativity, and if possible, just go out there and play with other children and don't sit in front of the computer, of the screen. Spend time in nature, and if there's something you feel scared about, if something you feel upset about, talk about it. It's, we're done with this, you know, being a nice girl and you know, boys don't cry and all that bullshit. We need to teach children to show their emotions, so that when they grow up, they don't have to suppress anything. Because in the end, that feels to depression of emotions, right? So if that starts in childhood, you have a trauma and you need to dissolve a trauma. So if we can let our children show their feelings, show their emotions, talk with them, spend time with them, show empathy, show them support, show them that they're so special, but still there is this whole thing, this whole world, this community, this family. And if we take care of each other, that's a beautiful and very safe path to walk, and nobody's going to be alone, nobody's going to be depressed in the end, and we can, you know, we can avoid all these traumas that people are trying to dissolve. Trauma is the word, I think it's been the word for a couple of years, and I think we really need to start from there, try to avoid it, depression.
Cool. Well, thank you. It was great to actually catch up and chat with you again.
Thank you.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any fantasy points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that fantasy points has to offer. That's fantasypoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. Fantasypoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.